Greetings.
Greetings.
For those of you listening, we are recording this after episode 13.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when we're actually going to put this out there. We might want to do space in between because the topics are very similar. So I don't know what's going to be happening in the world when this does go live. I have a few canned responses, though.
Okay.
Can you believe what the president did? How about that weather? It is or is not what I expected.
How about those sports?
Yeah.
I did or did not see that coming.
My team did the thing I didn't want it to do. Or maybe it
did. Or maybe it did. North Korea is crazy.
What's with that?
Do we still have Medicare? I don't know.
Ooh, that got a little too
real.
Yeah.
In the coming months, we may or may not have that.
Seeing as we actually just finished recording 5 minutes ago, we need some more bullshit things to talk about. Do you have any bullshit things to talk about? Because you know I do.
Again, I only live in this room.
Okay.
So, no. Okay. I have nothing to talk about.
Your beard is getting really long, though. It's impressive. Yeah. Do you ever trip on it, or you just...
I don't move much.
Right.
It's okay. Not really an inconvenience.
You know, the bed has a very distinct Ryland shape to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
You don't want to flip the mattress or anything?
Oh, I have.
Oh, you have? Okay. Yeah. Is it on both sides?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Okay. Okay, I have something to say.
Really, though, what's going on in Tom's life?
I have something really important to
say. You've got some important shit?
Stop fucking telling me I need an electric toothbrush. I don't need a fucking electric toothbrush. Manual is fine. Manual has always been fine. I don't see why they're so great.
I can corroborate this. A friend of mine, good friend of mine, who I used to work with, his sister is...
A toothbrush?
Yeah, she's a toothbrush. She is a dental hygienist.
Mm-hmm.
And she... is of the opinion, and I tend to trust it.
Yes.
It's her job.
Yes.
All you need is a light or a medium strength mm-hmm. toothbrush. She recommends do not get the hard toothbrush.
Mm.
No need for an electric toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
Just a light to medium. That's all you need. You don't want to hurt the gums. You mm-hmm. just want to, you know, massage them so you don't get mm-hmm. gingivitis or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's not complicated. People make it out to be very complicated.
Yeah.
It's not.
You heard it here first, everybody.
Hot take. We got a hot take
hot,
here.
Hot off the presses.
Hot off the presses.
Debunked.
Debunked. Just get a normal fucking toothbrush.
Yeah, I get a normal toothbrush that costs a couple dollars. I floss every night and I brush my teeth. And every time I go to the dentist, they say, "What do? Your teeth are amazing." And I say, "I brush them and floss them."
Yeah.
And people keep telling me like, "No, you don't understand." It's going to change everything. I've used one. It doesn't change anything. It just makes a loud sound.
Right.
It's something else I have to plug into the fucking wall and clean awkwardly.
Right. It does change something. Your power bill.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's like the electronic paper towel things. Like, that was not a problem that needed to be solved. Everything was fine, right? They took a paper towel out and it was fine.
Look, it's super easy. All you do is wave your hand in front of the sensor. It will dispense a single paper towel.
Then you have to rip it off.
Pull
and then rip pieces of it off in your fingers.
You rip the two corners off.
Yeah.
You wave your hand in front of it again. It won't put out a new one because it senses there's still some there. So you have to rip it all out, wave your hand in front of it again. Try and rip it out slower and more deliberately. Now you've got like a paper towel and a half.
Yeah.
And you've been there for four times as long as you would have been if it was just a manual dispenser.
Yeah. Electronic toilet, I get it. I don't want to touch the toilet.
Right.
Electronic faucet, that's okay too because people will leave the faucet on, I'm sure.
Right.
Electronic soap, I'm about to wash my fucking hands with the soap.
Yeah.
I don't care if I touch the soap thing. My hands are going to be clean.
Well, the problem with the soap dispensers is that they can't get the timing right. So you put your hand under the soap dispenser, you wave it around for a second, trying to activate the sensor. And then the soap either like overshoots your hand or you start to move your hand away to reset the zone and move your hand back
and then
it squirts out.
That always happens
straight into the fucking drain.
That always happens to me with the water. The faucet is just maybe I wash my hands for longer than most people do.
No, that's
but I put my hands under and then it works for a second and the threshold is really quick.
It's very quick.
If your hands adjust by a centimeter, it's like, hands are on.
Yeah.
This guy has no hands.
No hands! I think that's more about water saving, though.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want it running for any second longer because those seconds add up. So the faster they cut it off, you just have to keep your hand under there and they'll just cut it off. And the idea there is that it will cut off immediately once the hands are gone.
What does the world come to?
Well, it's attempting to be smarter, but the problem is humans have to make them smarter.
Right.
Humans have to make the robots
right.
be smart, and humans are inherently not smart.
Yes.
Another hot take.
I heard that here first as well.
That's a hot take.
So, speaking of robots.
Okay. Oh, boy.
I really enjoyed how much you liked the last doll episode. So we're doing dolls again.
I would not describe my entertainment as like.
You should have seen his face.
It was.
And his checking account after that episode. I'm just kidding.
I bought a lot of Furbies.
It's all Furbies. I'm just kidding.
All those They're Furbies you see on eBay, those are my bids.
Yeah.
I bid on all of them. I'm very broke. I
pro
have a
Furby.
Lot of debt.
Pro Furby.
I may need to start a help Ryland fund get out of debt for buying too much Furbies.
What do you call a Furby that has been previously owned? A refurby.
Yes.
You like that?
Fucking nailed it.
Just came up with
High
that
five.
Now. Boom.
This is Total Immersion, a weekly podcast in which we immerse ourselves in subcultures. I'm your host, Ryland Sedevi, and there is another host here by the name of Tom Craig. And we are good hosts because we did not forget to record an intro for this episode. And this is definitely, totally not an overdub.
Okay, so sex dolls.
Ready? Okay.
So
not Furby related though.
So sex dolls.
Please tell me there's not a Furby sex doll before we start.
I can neither confirm nor deny that that exists.
Fuck. Okay.
It's really short.
It's really small.
Yeah. So I didn't actually find anything too amazing on here because I kind of expected that it would be dolls that you can have sex with, and that's
yeah.
what it was.
Right.
So it was interesting looking at some of the specifics
uh-huh.
and seeing how far the technology has come and how it was more advanced than I thought in my mind it would be.
Okay, one, you. Okay, two, continue.
And it is also interesting, again, similar to the last doll episode, this is a much bigger industry than
okay.
I anticipated it would be.
Okay.
I found out
I just don't know. If my mind is ready, we just did the reborn dolls, and now you want to talk about basically larger versions of those that you can have sex with.
We just did, but in the future, we're going to put other episodes in between these two.
Right, yeah.
So just think about future Ryland.
What I'm imagining is future Ryland still can't forget about the traumatizing discussions we
can't
have.
Can't go to bed at night.
Well, the Ryland-shaped hole in the bed is pretty comfortable.
Right.
Okay. All right. Let's go.
Good.
What
I'm
do
glad
we got?
I'm glad you're excited. So
I just don't want the investors to get mad at me.
The investors are Furbies and also
yes, they are
very, very pro animatronic.
They
dolls and creations.
Yes, they have a very pro Furby agenda. They're
yes.
trying to get everybody in the world okay with talking about
mm-hmm.
AI
they're trying to normalize
and robots.
This stuff.
They're trying to normalize this stuff.
Yeah.
Yes,
which is why all the episodes are going to be about animatronic things now.
Great.
Chuck E. Cheese is next.
Great.
Chuck E. Cheese should be next.
Okay, Chuck E.
Anyway.
Cheese.
Anyway, so I found out about these things called real dolls.
Okay.
One word, which is a creation.
Capital R, capital D?
Capital R, one word.
Real doll.
Real dolls.
Real doll?
Yes.
Okay.
Like Roald Dahl, but not at all like him. So.
What is Roald Dahl?
The author? Roald Dahl.
Oh.
They have a Roald Dahl real doll?
No.
But all it does is just read you.
Oh, okay.
Also, you know, sex with it. So, okay, so. Yeah, so this is a company has made this, and this is their line of sex dolls.
Right.
Okay, so let me see if you understand, because I don't know if they were going for this.
Okay.
Let me see if you pick up on this. This
All
is
right.
a sex doll company. It's called Abyss Creations.
Abyss Creations. Is this a pun? Abyss?
What is an abyss?
Something you throw.
It's a very large hole.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's the joke?
I don't know if it's a joke. I just thought it was interesting that that was the name of the company. that make sex dolls, which are essentially glorified holes.
Yeah, I
that's also my new debut mixtape, Glorified Holes.
Glorified Holes. That's your sophomore album.
Yeah.
After Critters.
Yeah. So anyway, Abyss Creations.
Abyss Creations. Why would you want that to be your name?
Here are a few things I found out about these sex dolls.
Okay.
They have posable PVC skeletons with steel joints and silicone flesh.
Right. So that's obvious.
Posable.
Right. Get it.
So in 2003, it used to be that you would have a face that would be Velcroed onto the body of this doll.
Uh-huh.
In 2003, Abyss introduced the Face X system, which allowed any face to be interchangeable with any body.
They made a proprietary connection system.
Yes.
So as long as you use their standard, you are Abyss compatible.
Multiple faces can then be attached one at a time to a single doll by the owner.
Multiple faces?
Let me read that one more time. Multiple faces can be attached one at a time.
Oh, okay.
But what you do with your doll in the privacy of your own home is...
I mean, you can have...
So you could have one that had several faces on it. I'm picturing one that has like one face on the front and a different face on the back.
And then two different ones on the sides. Yeah. What's that? Isn't there like a Indian god like Shiva or something that has like a shitload, like has seven faces?
Shiva
all around.
Has the arms. I don't know if she has multiple.
I'm
sure there's a god though that is that.
I'm sure, yeah. Yes. There's arms, there's the faces, there's the elephant.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is I can
there are no elephants.
What you're saying is someone could have sex with that with a five faced thing.
I mean, you could have sex with anything. Don't let your
move
dreams
along,
be dreams,
move along.
Rylan.
I can't.
Okay, let's move on to more normal things. In 2009, the Real Doll 2 was introduced, which features removable inserts for the mouth and vagina.
Okay.
And faces that attach by magnets instead of Velcro. Like
look, I'm happy that the industry is moving forward and they're making advancements.
Multiple vaginas, Rylan.
Why does
interchangeable.
Why is this so uncomfortable?
I don't know why it makes us so unsettled, but it really does. What they didn't mention here is whether the vagina and mouthpiece are the same and you could swap them, or if you can just put different mouths in and different vaginas in.
I'm going to assume that they kept them separate.
I didn't care to look, but I'm pretty sure you're right.
I'm glad you didn't.
I hope you're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so the Real Doll 2, is that the current version?
Yes, that's the current one.
Okay.
Transgender dolls may be purchased, although they must be custom ordered. For a time, the company also offered customizations like computer-controlled speech feedback, which are no longer available. But they're not available from this company, but there are a bunch of companies out there that make dolls that will talk to you.
Third-party market, man.
They won't just talk to you, but they will remember specific things about you.
Holy
and
shit.
Your name. So you could come
what
home to your
fuck?
Sex doll, and it would say, hello, Rylan.
Rylan? Well, not for first of all... No AI has ever gotten my name right.
What do they say?
It's just a mispronunciation. They say Rylan, but with weird emphases
Rylan.
and pauses and Rylan. Like, hello, Rylan. What do I call you?
Yes. We really Rylan. Would like to think that AI and voice feedback and recognition has come so far.
Uh-huh.
But my Echo and phone, any service I've ever used that I've said set a timer for 50 minutes, they set a timer for 15 minutes.
Oh, really?
They know my name, but there's a bunch of stuff they cannot figure out.
Well, I learned a long time ago as a child going to Disneyland and going to get those like name tags. You get just like name tags. They had a whole rack of all these different
names.
And
they never had your name?
No, they never had my name.
They always had my name. It was
great.
Well,
of course. You're Tom. I'm sure they had Tom and Jack and Brianna and
other normal names
and other standard names.
Yeah.
No one. I've met two other Rylans in my life, both of which had different spellings than mine. So as far as I know, I'm the only Rylan that I've ever met.
Don't you feel special, though?
I do.
Yeah.
And I appreciate my name.
Yeah.
However, Starbucks never gets it right.
You just tell her you're somebody else.
I do. I go by my middle name.
Yeah.
Which is way easier.
For those of you listening, his middle name is Furby trademarked.
It is, yeah.
Yes.
It's the name. It's my Furby given name.
Please send help. So I agree, though. It's very, it's unsettling. And it's this uncanny valley thing again, right? Why is it so unsettling? I read about this one doll being made by this company called Cynthia Amatus. But Cynthia is spelled like synesthetic, not like the name.
Sure, of course.
So they have a doll called Samantha that has what is termed analysis mode.
Analysis mode.
Sleep mode. And there's a video of her talking to the Echo and the Google Home and telling them to do things to the house.
Oh, my God.
So we've pretty much reached the point of the... We put these things in our homes that can control them, and then we get other robots that can control those robots. We are pretty much at the robot uprising already.
All this,
we're living Skynet right now.
Yeah, this is.
But
this
we can
is,
have sex with it, so it's great.
This is ground zero for the end of the world.
This is Skynet in fishnets.
Right, Skynet in fishnets. But you're right. It's the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
But we are okay with it because it's slightly immobile.
Mm-hmm.
Innocuous, and you can have sex with it, so it's fine.
Yeah, so it is strange in that unsettling way. One thing I did think that I found interesting was a brothel in Barcelona that started replacing women with robots, and I saw a Germany brothel started doing this as well. That to me seems like a really good use of these things in terms of public health and all that kind of stuff.
And in terms of emotional damage and weird issues with people who may be attracted to that line
similar,
of work.
This is similar to the Reborn Dolls things, right? Like, is it emotionally damaging? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I guess you're right. I spoke too soon. I don't want to assume that anybody in a legal brothel has emotional problems. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a high correlation to emotional issues.
Oh, you're talking about the people working there?
Yes.
I thought you meant the customers. Yes. I would say working in a brothel is probably detrimental to your
psyche
and mental well-being.
So, okay. So I agree that maybe a sex doll rental shop, if you will. With
this is something you buy. You don't rent this. One of the few things that you do not ever want.
But you're telling me that there are places you can go in Germany that have an assortment ready for you to use, and that I'm assuming you don't purchase.
Right. Well, yeah. So the brothel, I guess you would be renting, but the ones that you would get shipped to you in a box.
Right.
Yeah, that actually happens.
That is
shipped to you in a box.
Right.
Those, I think, you wouldn't be buying
in a coffin-shaped box.
You wouldn't be buying those secondhand.
But okay, so
you should hope they have a secondhand. But
going
that's
right
actually
past
a
that.
Gun.
Yeah. You can. Can I get one that has like a machine gun for a leg?
I want one that looks like Metroid.
Metroid?
That looks like Samus,
but in a suit, though.
Yeah, in the suit.
The suited up Samus.
So
this is so okay. Is that why this feels weird?
Why?
Because it's something that, in a way, appeals to us in a certain aspect, right?
I think it's
an extension. It's sort of a bastardization of masturbation.
That's a good way to put it. Yes.
It's masturbation.
Also a name of that we could use for an episode, but we won't.
Right.
That was in my notes here was this is basically the same as masturbating. But like, is it?
But turned up to like 13 past 10, you know?
So
this is the dystopian version of the future of masturbation.
But
even what I mean is beyond the Harvey Weinstein, Louis C.K., may their careers rest in peace.
Rip.
Fuck the people. They're assholes for doing that.
Sure.
But their careers rest in peace.
Yes.
Beyond masturbating into a plant in front of somebody, which is just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it in your
plant
own home.
I didn't like it either.
Doing it in your own home, you know, I guarantee you 99% of the people in the world do it.
You heard it here first. We are saying that masturbating in your own home is A-okay.
Of course it is. It's your own fucking home. Everybody does it.
The numbers are actually 99% men and something like 80% women.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Don't ask me why I know that, but.
It came up in your research. Just say
yes,
that.
It did.
Yes, it did. So what I'm saying is that's sort of standard, right? I would say if the statistics were only 80 to 85%, mm-hmm. that's well beyond a majority.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's a standard.
That's enough for it to be so normalized.
Right. Yeah. So then you get like sex toys.
Sure.
Which is the evolution of humanity in the form of pleasuring yourself.
Yeah. But right. That, and that also is something that is incredibly normalized, right?
Right.
For women.
Right. But if a dude has...
like a flashlight or whatever.
Right. That's seen as really disgusting and weird.
But
right?
I wonder why.
I don't know.
And that is a good question, right? Like, why are sex toys normalized and seen as healthy and totally normal and fine for women?
Right.
But men, it's like repulsive.
Yeah.
When if we're just thinking about this in a cost benefit analysis point of view, men are probably going to get more bang for your buck out of that than women will.
More bang for your buck indeed.
Yes. So why?
And so then beyond that, then you merge that with the uncanny valley issues of having a robot that knows your name, knows about you, can talk to your smart home devices and control your smart home devices.
I think.
And then you also, but its main purpose is to be there for you to basically masturbate with.
Yes. I would say, I have a couple topics. I think for one, I would say it's not accepted for men as it is for women because men are already seen as more interested in the physical act of sex than the emotional one.
Uh-huh.
So I think because of that, women having something only for physical use, it's seen more of a psychological need or emotional need that's being met in a mature and healthy way.
Okay.
And I think for men, it's seen like, I don't know. I think because there is that stigma that men are more interested in sex than women are, for some reason that colors this idea of masturbating. I don't know.
Interesting. I think it's somewhere along that line of maybe it's just because men are seen as sort of animalistic in that regard, like sort of it's for us, it's sort of primal, or it's sort of like we just need to get it out kind of thing. Like it's just, which to an extent biologically
is that's the imperative, right?
That's the male imperative, is to just go have sex with as many women to try and spread your genes to further your offspring.
Maybe this is like that. It's just that in-your-face manifestation of that reality, and we as a society are always trying to distance ourselves from that.
Oh,
talk about how we have evolved.
Yeah, I think
have all these better ideas about these things, and then when you see something like a fleshlight
or a sex doll,
I think it maybe makes you think how far we really come.
Yeah, where we're still slaves to our
most primal and basic needs and urges. Right?
Interesting.
But
I don't know. I don't know where the truth lies. I think we're fairly close. I don't know where the truth really lies.
But for men and women, I think having a humanoid thing that you have sex with that closely mimics a real person, that is seen as repulsive regardless of the gender or sex of the person using it.
So then
why is that? That's a different thing, right?
If it's too close to realistic, then it gets weird.
Yes.
Is that, I mean, it's just uncanny valley?
It's the uncanny valley thing again. But why? Why? And I think my theory is when you get that close, it's seen as a stand-in for real relationships with other people, right? If you have a dildo, right? If a woman has a dildo that she uses, you know, I think the anticipation and the assumption is she may still have an emotional connection with a man or be searching for or be searching for one or be satisfied in that way. Maybe she doesn't want to have a relationship with anyone. Like the idea of romance is solved for this woman, but there's still this kind of physical need that she solves with maybe the idea is that if you this physical device is a dude, right, it's a silicone guy named Ken in your bed or whatever, maybe the idea is it's unhealthy because those physical and emotional needs are being met by the same physical object.
I see that definitely makes a lot more sense, that and that probably is disturbing to us because as a society you're supposed to be social and friendly and want to be with people, and the moment we start seeing people, that's a classic dystopian sci-fi trope,
right,
is that sex bots will become so real that people will just disappear into their houses
right.
to just have sex with that robot all right. the time. And then human race will die off
mm-hmm.
because no one is having sex with each other. No one's meeting each other. No one's in relationships yeah. because the fake thing is so much better or is satisfying enough
right.
that it gets rid of all desire to continue the human race.
And I think that,
I mean, that's a sci-fi trope,
but
right?
That's just taking that idea to its logical extreme. Right. It's the
logical extreme or just extreme?
I mean, logical, just in terms of following the rules of physics and science as we know them.
I guess so. Sure. Okay.
Maybe not the most socially likely or acceptable extreme, mm-hmm. but the one that you could physically see happening.
Yeah. Well, that's I guess. Yeah, you're right. That's the point of sci-fi.
So but yeah. So I guess maybe we just don't like the idea of having your emotional needs be met by a machine. And I think this yes. is the manifestation of that.
Agreed.
Also, by the way, these things can cost up to $4,000.
Whoa!
I forgot to say that earlier. Which is even more crazy, right? Because that's once you start to think about money, right? The right. idea is maybe this person is so detached that they're willing to spend so much money on this. The more it costs, the more detached this person is from emotional connection. Because whatever you invest money into, you're also investing emotion into.
Dude, this right? is dystopian as fuck.
It is.
This is creepy.
Yeah.
You and I are both, I think, along the same lines of if you do it at home, you know, to each his own right. kind
do
of thing.
Do
whatever you want to do. Whatever floats your boat.
Sure.
Yada, yada, yada. This is just fucking weird, though.
But see, that's why it's such an interesting topic.
It is,
because
yeah.
I really do like to think in the privacy of your own home, do whatever you want. So me thinking, like, some guy likes to go home and, like, he's a particular type of porn that he really likes to watch. Like, whatever, dude. Some guy likes to go home and he really likes to smoke pot. Whatever, man.
Right.
But for some reason, some guy going home and fucking a doll that's saying his name and turning on his lights with the Amazon Echo, that just, I still logically would say that's fine, but emotionally, like, some part of me just thinks that's just unsettling.
I think we find it unsettling in that regard because with porn on your computer or smoking pot or whatever you do in your own life, sure. that is solely confined to that specific instance in that specific time, right?
Yes.
Like, it happens then, you smoke pot, you get high, you watch a movie.
And then you go to work on Monday.
Then you go to work the next day,
right.
and it's
yeah.
fine. It
yeah.
literally doesn't affect anything outside mm-hmm. of that mm-hmm. room.
Right.
However, I think we're drawing a broader social conclusion off of going home to a $4,000
yeah, sex bot.
Sex bot, because that can affect that person's relationship with other people. Because if they're so attached to that, if they're
mm-hmm.
if that becomes a part of their life,
mm-hmm.
that could negatively affect, or mm-hmm. I guess, you know, positively affect, if
sure.
that helps them be confident.
Sure.
But that can start to affect, that can start to sort of bleed out of that person's individual reality.
Here's another theory, and I agree with everything you said.
Okay.
I think that's totally true. I think when these things become so normalized and we can envision this happening,
uh-huh.
we are afraid that that happens to us. And we are afraid
yes.
of becoming that person.
Right.
And I think when we see this as some form of giving up and being isolated,
uh-huh.
those are things that we are afraid of.
Yeah.
Which is a reason why we are automatically repulsed. And we think, oh, I would never want to do that. And I think we say, I would never want to do that because in the back of our minds,
yeah.
we think, I could do that.
It would be easy.
It would be really easy.
I could just give in.
That guy
yeah.
and do that thing, it be fucking a sex bot or
getting an anime body pillow
right.
that you
but it's
marry.
Even, it's even as simple as not working out, right? Every time
yeah.
you want to work out. Some people are weirdos and they love working out. But a lot of us, before we work out, we think, it would be so easy for me to just not work out. And I could just lie in this Ryland-shaped hole on my mattress all day. And like,
that's how I
whatever,
live my life.
Man. But I think a reason a lot of us don't do that is we think, but I want to be that guy who never works out.
Right.
Like, I don't want to do that.
Right.
So when we see people who never work out, we think, I'm not that guy. I work out.
At least, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Well, that's the social norm, the social
mm-hmm.
construct. That's because you want, at a core level, everybody wants to be part of the community and
mm-hmm.
a community by definition, has certain ideals and standards
yeah.
and expectations of you. You go to work, you earn money, you work hard,
mm-hmm.
you go home, you're nice to people, you tip well.
You try.
You
walk
your dog a lot.
Other people see you trying.
Yes.
And it's all, you know, we all play the same game.
Right. What was that Radiohead song? Fitter, Better?
You're asking the wrong person.
Well, there's a Radiohead song where it's sort of a commentary on exactly this.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a long, trancy song, and there's a computer reading lyrics out.
Mm.
And it reads like fitter, happier, more productive, yada, yada. And it just sort of is like telling the story of this, of a sort of abstract life.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the idea there, right, is it's kind of computerized. If we think about our life as just an algorithm, right, as
right.
just a set of levels or categories that we just want to have that equation of more time and effort right. into this equals better output, and then I'm happier.
Right, exactly. And that's what these lyrics exactly say is fitter, happier, more productive, comfortable, not drinking too much, regular exercise at the gym 3 days a week, getting on better with your associate employees, at ease, eating well, no more microwave dinners, no saturated fats, a patient, better driver, a safer car, baby smiling in back seat, sleeping well, no bad dreams, no paranoia, yada yada. It goes on, but that fits into that exact idea of
interesting.
Like, now that is on the other end of the spectrum of bastardization of our society, right?
Well,
so that's the extreme.
He's
artistic,
describing essentially the utopian society.
But I wouldn't say that song is utopian. That is describing a dystopian thing, an idea for life that is boring and lame.
I disagree.
You
is
think there, so?
Because I think here's what I like
well,
about
Radiohead,
this song.
So it's
I haven't
not
actually
happy.
Heard the song, but here's what I like about it.
Uh-huh.
I bet you there's nothing in there that says anything about boring. I think the idea about this song is here are all the things you actually do want, but if you are presented with all these things, you will be bored. So why do you want them so much?
Well, the song, the last lyric here is a pig in a cage on antibiotics.
Exactly.
So right? it's not happy.
No,
doesn't end well.
It is happy. It's not unhappy and it's not happy. It's just doing its thing. I think the idea of this song is getting everything you want and having 10 out of 10 in all these categories isn't necessarily good.
It's not.
But it's also not necessarily bad.
No, it's not bad.
It's just living.
Boring and unfulfilling.
But I disagree because I think what they're saying here is they're not saying it's boring. They're just presenting you with it and you are filling in the blank.
Well, that's probably true. Yeah.
Right.
I find that
because they don't skew it that way
right.
in the song. They don't say anything about like, isn't this boring? They just say like,
simply,
look, 10 out of 10 for everything
no,
for you, Rylan.
Yeah,
and then you
totally
go,
right.
that's boring.
Yeah. You're totally right. Cause they're even presenting it with a robotically.
Yeah. It's
read
neutral.
Lyric. It's as
neutral
as possible.
Yeah. It's just 10 out of 10
wow.
all these categories, everything you want.
I never thought about it
and
like
to
that.
To you, you think, oh, that's boring.
Well, but to relate it back to what we're talking about here with our topic, we've gone off on a pretty far tangent there.
Yeah.
But I think the idea we're trying to present is society has norms that are based on biological origins, desires, and the reason we find this unsettling and creepy with these hyper-realistic sex dolls and sex toys in general is that you're right. It's a little too close to reality. And that could then start to affect that person's interaction with actual reality.
Right.
Which then can lead to issues in the broader community that person is involved in. Right.
And
then that person's weird intricacies
sure
bleed out into the rest of the world and start affecting other people, which we have to be a little sensitive there because that's basically what homophobic people do, right?
Sure. Yeah,
that's their
totally,
defense.
Totally.
It's like, but you can't let the gays marry because then they'll start marrying pigs and then you'll
right,
never know
exactly.
what they do.
Like it's degradation.
It's a slippery, it's a slippery slope argument.
Yeah. So I think the, like you're saying, the idea is, well, if this becomes normalized, those people are going to infect.
Something's
going to
happen.
But maybe that's the thing that we're saying up front.
Yeah.
But I think the fear behind that is, well, maybe it's actually fine. And maybe they're just normalizing it for us. And I don't want that to be normal because I'm not comfortable with that.
Right. That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
We could talk ourselves in circles
about this. And we have. But I think the solution or the conclusion here is, it is interesting.
It's interesting
that we have this reaction.
It's interesting. I think it's fine if somebody wants to do it themselves in their own home. It's sufficiently creepy to me.
Can I show you a creepy picture?
I can't. You can show me a creepy picture. You can't get my mind off of the creepiness of weird reality. Mm-hmm.
Look at this picture.
I'm looking at it.
This picture. Would you like to describe to the audience what you're looking at?
I'm looking at a framed photo of what appears to be a sex doll from the neck down and the sort of mid-waist up. So it's pretty much a bust shot of mm-hmm. a sex doll in a bra. And he scrolled up past the neck, and now we are looking at what it appears to be a fancy light bulb on top of the head. So
a sex doll without the face on.
Sex doll without the face on.
How does that make you feel?
Confused.
Good. That's exactly what I wanted.
That's how I feel. That is confusing.
It is confusing. And I challenge listeners to think about it.
Yeah.
And just question the things that you would automatically write off as weird or uncomfortable or perverse.
Yes, I think in this podcast, if we do anything, it should be to expose and enlighten mm-hmm. subcultures to ourselves and to listeners mm-hmm. and just sort of bring it to light. And
in the most neutral way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we joke. We have opinions and we joke. But honestly, like, I like the fact that people might find this interesting mm-hmm. in deciding for themselves whether or not they want to get into terrain building, whether or not they want to get into pens, whether or right. not they want to get into lycanthropy.
Becoming a werewolf.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Who knows? If you want to be a werewolf and
don't eat brains.
And don't eat brains. And don't be like Jerry.
Don't be like, yeah, we have the brains.
Be like Stump. Still. Wait, no, don't be like Stump. You don't want to be like either of those
people. You don't
people.
Want to be any part of that.
You don't want to be Jerry or Stump.
Yeah.
They were both not good role models.
Yeah.
I don't know. So what did you guys think? I say this every time, but I am genuinely curious what people think.
Start responding to Rylan. He's very upset.
Look, I just, my Twitter feed is empty and social norms means that means I'm a boring person.
Yes, it does. And it's true. We're very boring. We're all judging you based on your Twitter feed.
That's how it feels.
I know.
And so this podcast really is designed to fulfill my desires for a more active Twitter feed.
Yes, this podcast is a way for us to be more vain, so please feed that ego.
Please. You can do that by tweeting at us. I am at Rylan Sedevi.
And I am at TheTomCraig. And you can use our Gmail, totalemergentpodcast@gmail.com as well.
For any suggestions or anything.
Anything you want to tell us, you can tell us in person, but You just make Rylan feel loved, please.
And if you want to do the Twitter thing, if you want to be in the Twitter universe, the Twitterverse, I guess you could use the hashtag FaceX, as in FaceX. FaceX. Yes. Okay, I like it.
So we're on iTunes, we're on Overcast, we're on Stitcher, we're on SoundCloud.
On SoundCloud.
We are everywhere where you can get a podcast.
We're literally making it as easy as possible
easy for you to give us a review.
Yes, a review!
Because that really helps out. Tell
it
people about
does.
Us. Rate us.
Yes.
Yeah. Spread the love.
Spread it.
Yeah. Not like a sex robot way, but like just a very platonic and friendly.
I thought about that joke too. I didn't go
Bye.
Bye.